There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, halfway through the week on this Wednesday. Glad you're here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Of course, you're a big part of the show on the text line, on the phone line at 343-0106. Coming up this hour, State Senator Chris Elliott in studio to talk about his yes vote on the three bills that made up the infrastructure package, one of them being the gas tax increase. We'll get into that and your comments coming up this hour. Plus, Brendan Kirby joins us next hour. The Manafort sentencing. We'll talk about that. And also this, I feel like it's a side story, but it seems to be dominating a whole bunch of news traffic out there. This pay for playing and going to college scandal here affecting some big celebs. I guess, as I said on Twitter last night, everybody's like, oh, Felicity Huffman. I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure I've seen her somewhere, but I don't know enough about TV shows and movies to but obviously, famous person, right? So we'll get into that coming up next hour as well. That's hour number two. So this hour, State Senator Chris Elliott, and then Brendan joins us at 1 o'clock. And I want to get into a couple things here before we even get started with that. Number one, the Fox attacks are back. We have not had a Fox attack attack story in like 4 months or something. Remember, we were on a roll there for a while. Well, our news partners over at WKRG have this on their website. A Fairhope woman has been attacked by a fox and fought off the attacks, the attacking fox with scissors. What would that sound like if you were fighting off the... Can we get scissors? Can we... That's more like shears. What's the difference in the sound between scissors and shears? I think that loud slapping, that's more like, more shear-like to me. But here, the rest of the story. So, Fairhope woman has been attacked by a fox, fought off the attack with scissors. The attack happened last night in the Country Woods neighborhood off Highway 104. Alisa Jennings was walking to her car from a friend's house. She was taking her recycling to her car and was carrying scissors to break the trash down. Okay, that makes sense, right? You're going to cut the boxes up. Probably sounds like that. Jennings fought the fox off with the scissors, and she shared the pictures of her bloodied hands and scissors with News 5. You can see this on the website. The fox was hiding underneath her vehicle. She said she was taken to the hospital, was being treated for rabies. It's not known yet if the fox had the virus. Officers did kill the fox. You don't know until you test the fox, but a fox attacking a person, a fox being in a populated place, not running away, usually one of the signs that you may have a rabid critter on your hands and biting your hands for that. But if you have scissors, you think that's what it sounded like? Do you think she was, it was more, Dalton, have you seen any more? Is it more, I've seen a picture of the scissors, red-handled scissors here, but I can't tell, did she use the scissors more as a stabbing instrument, or did she use it to. So another fox attack back in the news. So that's back. So and more Baldwin County foxes, which, by the way, that made it Baldwin County foxes in our Alabamian of the Year contest. That made it what, Dalton, to almost the last round or the second to last round this year. It was one of the big stories of the year for Alabamian of the Year. So Baldwin County foxes are back. Not to worry, they're coming back to a neighborhood, or maybe I should say absolutely worry, they're coming back to a neighborhood near you. All right, and then yesterday afternoon, it was just 1 week since the declaration of a special session by Governor Ivey. The legislature got to work in the House and in the Senate, and by yesterday, the Senate had voted out the trio of bills that made up the infrastructure package, and the governor then signed them. Governor had something to say yesterday, had a little bit of a victory speech here. A little clip from that right now.
Today, March the 12th, 2019, is a historic day for the great state of Alabama. What the members of the Alabama legislature have done today is to improve Alabama's infrastructure for generations to come. Today and over the last several days, I have been so proud to watch the legislature at its finest hour of operation. Legislators from different parties, from different parts of the state, have come together not to make an easy decision, but to make a bold statement that they are all in when it comes to investing in Alabama's future. Alabama will show the rest of the nation what it truly means to be successful through bipartisan votes. And I applaud the great team behind me who led the legislature through this session and through the passage of these bills. And thank you to the new members of the House and the Senate for your willingness to address a tough subject. You have shown your initiative, your leadership, and your statesmen. New members, job well done. And I want to thank our stakeholders for all of their special efforts to support this effort, from the municipalities to the counties to the business community. This indeed has been a bipartisan effort and a team effort as well. And truly, I am so proud to lead this state with other leaders who are devoted to doing what is right for Alabama.
All right, so a couple things there. First of all, in clarity, I did edit down the applause lines because I could cut the audio clip in half. So I did that. The applause were shortened in that little bit from Governor Ivey yesterday. But I did not edit out the ship from statesmanship. She did say statesman. I didn't cut the ship off. That was, she applauded them for their statesman, not statesmanship. So I don't want anybody saying that Sean edited out the ship from that, because I would not do that. That was the actual cut from the governor. So there it is. It is passed. It is signed, and it goes into effect later this year. We did say, watch your, as my dad always said, fill-in stations. Watch the fill-in stations. Make sure they're not trying to add the 6 cents for year one in any time early. Don't let anybody tell you, like, right now or this summer, be like, oh yeah, we went up 6 cents because that was the tax. That's not happening here until the end of the fiscal year, and we're looking at that being months away. So if you see the local fill-in station tell you that's why they did it, they're lying. We'll get into more on this. And State Senator District 32, Chris Elliott joins us. He was one of the yes votes, and why he voted yes, he's going to talk about that with us when we come back. Also, take your text and calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. That's happening this hour on Midday Mobile. All right, and we'll be right back. Can we have the song? We have the song? Okay, good.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days the living room. I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I want to thank all those behind me that stand behind me. A special thanks I've got to give to the minority leader, Bobby Singleton. He has done a spectacular job.
All right, so bipartisan support. There is State Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh yesterday, and the body he was representing and talking about is Alabama Senate. Alabama Senator, District 32, Chris Elliott, joining us in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So it was a overwhelming, yes, I mean, it was a very big margin in the House, even better margin in the Senate.
It absolutely was in both houses, and I think that when you look at that, those margins, you really get some indication of the understanding of the enormity of the impact of this bill statewide and what it can mean to coastal Alabama, but what it can mean to the state overall.
Okay. And we've talked about that. We talked about that in Montgomery with you. And I've looked in that, but I also hear what folks are saying. And they said the process here, whether they would have supported it in the first place or not, the process seemed like this was a locomotive freight train railroad job from day one.
Man, you should have been on the receiving end of it. That's exactly what it felt like. And that's what it felt like to me as well. But that's politics.
Right.
And that's how the governor decided how to do this. And at the end of the day, she's the governor. She gets to call the special session if she wants to. That's what she was elected to do, and that's what she did. Now, yeah, we're left to deal with that decision and how best to navigate that, what she does that. But that's all we get to consider. That's the law.
That's important for people to understand for a second here. When the governor called that special session a week ago, then the only items that could be discussed in the special session were infrastructure.
That's it. Not a other.
You can't
darn
bring up
thing.
The
Not
rules
the,
say you can't bring up, because people were asking why y'all weren't addressing the lottery before the tax.
I wanted to address the lottery. I want to address other offsets. I want to look at grocery tax. I want to look at all of those things. But the governor gets to set what's in the call for the special session, and that's all you get to deal with. Now that we've done this, now it's time to go look at all those other offsets, and that's what I'm committed to do.
And people will worry, though, there won't be, without that locomotive freight train behind it, there won't be as much energy behind offsets or other things that there was for this, and I keep reminding people, the three different bills, the oversight, the actual taxing mechanism, and the port.
Right, and they should be worried. I mean, it's politics. They should be worried. And that's what I'm going to need their help with as I go and try to make cuts. That's hard, because there's going to be somebody on the other end of that, but that's what we're going to do. I've got a bill in committee next week that'll save taxpayers across this state hundreds of millions of dollars. I filed it before we ever started talking about this gas
and
tax.
That bill,
that's Senate Bill 23 that rolls back police jurisdictions and extraterritorial jurisdictions to municipal limit boundaries. But that's real money. That's real sales tax. That's real utility tax. That's real business license fees that affects real people. And that's the only place, it's the only place anybody has suggested hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks to regular folks day in, day out. And I'm committed to doing that, and I've already introduced the bill to
It's a maybe tax break, and you and I talked about this bill, but yesterday I was talking about, Sheriff Sam Cochran was on with me and talking about what it means for sheriff's departments. He said he would have to add 90 deputies to his staff to cover that area that would be pulled back from the jurisdiction there. And he said, you know, we don't have the money to get that. We don't have ability to all of a sudden have 90 deputies. He said, I don't have the budget nor the time window to put that many deputies in, which might force, in the case, annexation or somebody creating a new municipality across the state, anywhere in these regions that lay on the edge. And at that point, they are going to have to go back to paying some higher tax rate than they would in the county if they're going to pay for law enforcement and fire and all that.
Well, two issues, and I would say that even if that happens, it will be that individual's decision to do that. Okay, that's okay. Not going to be the government telling them whether to do. If they want to go into a city and they want to have all the benefits that come along with being in the city, then it's their decision to annex into that city.
Okay.
People make those decisions every day. And second is, I am not a law enforcement professional, and I don't pretend to be. But Sheriff Cochran's saying he needs 90 deputies to do what 25 police officers from the city of Mobile are doing right now.
He says that area, he said it would be almost like the not the geographic footprint, but the population would be as much as, and he named off, you know, different areas of the county. I mean, it would almost be like Citronelle to Grand Bay kind of thing.
Sean, he's saying he needs 90 deputies to do what 25 police officers from the city of Mobile are doing right now.
So you think the number's high?
I think it's down from the 172 he told Commissioner Hudson he was going to need some time ago.
So you think that 90 number is not accurate?
I just am saying there's 25 police officers from the city of Mobile doing the same job right now. And I think that when we really look at this, you know, there is going to be some give and take. There's going to be some pain. But that happens when you do tax cuts. That's what happens. But I'll also say that they what did they talk about, $5 or $6 million for a soccer?
Yeah, $4 million is okay. What I heard. But yes, but it was $43 million at one point. That's a whole other show.
Well, it is a whole other show. But at the same time, governing is about priorities. Okay, and I don't want to get in the weeds in Mobile politics, but governing is about priorities, and that's what you have to do. You have to make tough decisions. Are you putting law enforcement first? Are you putting roads and bridges first? Are you putting parks first? Are you putting education first? If you're not going to just continuously raise taxes, which I'm opposed to doing, I'm talking about offsets. I'm here to govern and make decisions about priorities. But you got to do the tough things too. And sometimes that means cutting. And sometimes that means you have somebody squealing about something. Oh, hey, it's my soccer field. Or, oh, hey, mm-hmm. I don't get to go do this.
Yeah, there's sacred cows. There are whole pastures full of sacred cows out there.
Well, the sacred cows, to me, go back to the basic functions of government. And that's public infrastructure, public safety, and public education.
All right. Everything else is window dressing.
Gravy.
Okay. Let's talk about, because there's a bunch of texts coming in right now, why did you vote yes? Why didn't you vote no? Because okay. And if we look, we put up the list earlier. If you wanted to go back and look, it was a big majority in the Senate where you're doing your work, and a pretty darn big majority in the House that all voted yes.
Okay, so let's say I'm sitting here and yesterday I vote no on this. What does that change?
Right, you're saying you knew that votes were going to come in. Well, because there's somebody saying, well, why didn't you vote no? Let's see. You had options to vote no and talk and explain to your constituents.
I'm here explaining to my constituents.
You are,
right,
I give you a double thumbs up on that. You volunteered to come right in and talk about this. So if you would have voted no,
if we would have voted no,
tell me what. Back the curtain. This is what we do around here. You vote no on a bill you know is going to pass.
You vote no on a bill that you know is going to pass, and you know is going to pass by a wide margin. I vote no on this bill, and that vote becomes 27-7 instead of 28-6. What difference is there? Here's the difference. You're blackballed. Not me. My constituents. Coastal Alabama.
District 32.
Absolutely. No question about it. And that's what would have happened.
You're blackballed. How does that work?
It's going to affect road funding, infrastructure funding. It would have affected all kinds of different things.
It's a pretty rough game being played there.
Sure it is. There's no question, but that's politics. It is amazing to me sometimes that people who act like they're very involved in politics wake up, see something like this going on, and go, oh my goodness gracious, I can't believe that's happening. I mean, come on, Sean. Some of the people on your text line right now are pretty savvy folks, mm-hmm. and they're acting surprised about this. I'm sorry, the governor's playing hardball. She wanted this to be a big victory. She got a big victory. How'd she get it? By playing hardball. Because at the end of the day, I'm willing to put my personal future on the line to make sure that the people in my district and coastal Alabama are taken care of. That's my job.
Now, you talk about this blackball. Would it be as quid pro quo as if you're one of those no votes? And you could, and you made a good point, that for politics back here at home, the perfect world would be for all the roads and bridges and all the things that get done here, but you being a no vote, right? Isn't that a perfect world? Because then you can say you voted no, but the things still get done.
Right, but that's not what's going to happen. I mean, listen, the governor's got a board in her office. It's got a little red dot by it.
I've heard about this board.
If you're a red dot, you might as well not even walk in.
What Senator Elliott's talking about is this whiteboard we've heard described with the names of all the House members and Senate members on it and where they were with their votes. Were they yes votes, were they maybe, or were they no?
Right. And let me tell you, let me flip it around and say, okay, now let's look at the yes vote and what does it get us?
Okay.
Okay? It gets us a seat at the table when we start talking about where to spend this money. We're talking about Joint Transportation Committee. We're talking about A-Trip Committee. We're talking about being in the room when you start taking this pie, and oh, by the way, the existing pie, mm-hmm. okay? And you start
Which is how much, by the way? Somebody was asking.
LDOT budget?
Yeah.
Total, you're looking at just shy of a billion, probably.
Billion.
Yep. So when you start talking about those types of things and where that money is spent, now you're in the room making those decisions. You're a no vote, you got a red dot, you ain't in that room. That means the people in my district are not in that room. That means the road projects are not happening in our area because I decided it was more politically expedient to come on here and say, oh, I voted no, and aren't you proud of me?
Couldn't you have turned around then? I know we talked a bit about that first. first bill, the first one that was passed through the House and passed through the Senate as well, the accountability, the oversight of ALDOT. So say you would have voted no, you would have had the screws, the thumb screws put to you in District 32, the people of District 32 had the thumb screws on. Couldn't you go in front of that board and say, hey, I'm getting a raw deal here because I voted no? Couldn't you?
And they would have said, yep, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah, you're getting a raw deal. You voted no. I mean, that's the nature of politics. That is how this works. That's how the governor is able to get Republican supermajorities to do something like this.
I mean, it is from just a political, like, armchair quarterback politics, wherever you are on the issue, it was quite a play politically. Sure. I mean, it was a big win.
It absolutely was for her. And listen, I think it's a big win for the state of Alabama. We need to invest in our infrastructure. There's no question about it. We're talking about billions of dollars. Billions of dollars worth of projects on the horizon in coastal Alabama, with the port, the federal money coming in for that, with hundreds of millions of dollars in infra grants coming from the feds, with the construction of a $2 billion I-10 bridge, some of which is paid for by toll money. Don't mistake where I'm coming.
Yeah, because that's not cash tax money.
But it probably doesn't. Well, a portion of it is. There's probably $400 million of it that's coming from ALDOT.
Of the old ALDOT budget, though, not the new. It's not.
It's still
I know
ALDOT
it comes out
budget.
The same checking account.
Okay, so here's what was going to happen otherwise. It probably was going to be Garvey bond out for the foreseeable forever and borrowed for the future. And now we don't have to do so much of that.
All right, coming right back, more with Senator Chris Elliott. Get your questions and calls 343-0106, 343-0106.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Wednesday style on Midday Mobile. Text line 343-0106. Remember, podcasts of this show and the 40-some-odd hours a week of live vocal programming we do air week on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Click the link for podcasts, and they're waiting for you right there. State Senator Chris Elliott, our guest in studio this hour, and lots of questions coming in. I want to get this one in, because somebody's saying that you were already supporting the gas tax when you were running for office. And this goes back, I want to read a quote here from an op-ed. It's not a news piece, but an op-ed from Kyle Whitmire, who I'll point out, Kyle Whitmire with AL.com is not exactly a friend of any Republican. So for him to be opposing the gas tax is kind of interesting, as everything's gotten jumbled in Montgomery. Republicans supporting a gas tax, liberal Kyle Whitmire attacking Republicans for supporting a gas tax. I just want to lay that out. He says in his op-ed, he's talking about Governor Ivey. He said, that's when Ivey let it drop. Here's the quote. And I wish I could talk like Dan Carlin does in his quote voice. But all the freshmen who ran for House and Senate were indeed briefed on the need for infrastructure bill well before they were elected, Ivey said. And they were vetted by the House and Senate leadership. And if they were not for increasing the gas tax for infrastructure, they were not encouraged to run. Is that true?
Governor Ivey never vetted me. She didn't have to. During my campaign, I talked about the need for infrastructure. This was something that we talked about throughout the campaign. This was something that me and my opponent went back and forth on. I talked about the need for infrastructure funding during the campaign. This really shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. I was on your show talking about the need for infrastructure. You had Jeff Poor on this morning. Jeff said this mm-hmm. was talked about in the Elliott campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It was. It was a hard case to make then, but we did it. And we talked about the need for it. We made the argument, and we won the election. And then we went and did what we said we were going to do.
Okay, so that quote, that, and it was taken from an interview, I think, with WSFA that Governor Ivey did, but then quoted inside the Kyle Whitmire story, that there was this, the governor was, because there's a big freshman class up there, what, 33% of the new faces in Montgomery, right?
Yeah, and the colleagues that I've talked to said that that didn't happen to them. I can speak, you know, firsthand that it didn't happen to me. But again, I go back to, this is something I've been talking about for a long time. There's a lot riding on this right now, and this is the right move for Alabama. Investing in our infrastructure, investing in our economic development future is the right thing to do.
Now, there's a bunch of people that are really clutching pearls and slack-jawed here that's how Montgomery ball is played. there saying they said you're this is blackmail. Somebody said there's blackmail. Is that okay?
This is the same way politics is played at the state, or at the federal level, and at the state level, and even to the local level sometimes. Right? This is what President Trump does. It's no different than what President Trump does. Yes, we're playing hardball. Yes, the governor's playing hardball. I would not be a very good at what I'm doing if I was surprised by this. And I think that some legislators may have been. I certainly was not. This is something you should be prepared for when you get into the big leagues.
All right. This texter said, how can you support taxing the population in a gas tax as opposed to taxing the shipping industry, which benefits from deepening of the channel? And that's the third bill, the money going to the...
Sure. It's real simple, okay? The match money from the feds is huge. We're talking about $600 to $800 million that Senator Shelby has teed up. I mean, it is truckloads of cash, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together for the match.
Mm-hmm.
And now we do. That means that comes here now, okay? That means that is investment in coastal Alabama that we absolutely need. It also makes Alabama industries more competitive globally. It makes the forest products industries more competitive. It makes the coal industry more competitive. It makes the poultry industry. It makes the aerospace industry more competitive globally. And that's why that investment is so important. If you simply drive up the cost of shipping by charging more at the port, what have you done? You've just driven up the cost of shipping, and you've made your industries less competitive. This is public infrastructure and public infrastructure spending, and it helps our industries be more competitive globally here in Alabama.
All right. We'll get those calls at 343-0106. I tell you what, I'm hearing from people. Good for you coming in, because I'm hearing from people around the state that almost none of the yes vote folks have come on the radio anywhere in the state. So good for you. Good for you. Let's go to Greg in Orange Beach. You're first up. Hey, Greg.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
All right. Well, let me just say one thing. I'm not surprised at all that Chris Elliott would support a tax. I mean,
well, just talk to him.
He shoved that 1 cent gap, that 1 cent sales tax, in a backroom deal with the county commission. So I'm not surprised at all. But here's my question about this gas tax. How is it that why don't we look at accountability with ALDOT? I mean, when I see them doing work, I'll see them, they'll have 12 people, 5 trucks, and 3 pieces of equipment. The private industry would send 2 men in a pickup truck with a shovel.
Okay, well, let me let Senator Elliott ask that, because wasn't that the first bill, the accountability?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have addressed that. It's the Joint Transportation Committee. It is full of accountability.
And does it change what Greg's talking about? Does it?
Does the legislature get into the weeds of how many people are on the side of the truck holding a flag to say stop or slow? No, and that's not the legislature's responsibility. The Constitution specifically forbids it. That's an executive branch function. And you and I talked earlier about having to talk about civics sometimes, but mm-hmm. that's exactly, it's important to know the difference, okay?
Yeah.
That's not something the legislature does.
Y'all can't do that.
We can't do that. What the legislature can do is talk about where this money is spent and what it's spent on. And so that's what we're doing. We're not talking about any trucks. We're not talking about any track hose. We're not talking about any personnel for this. We're talking about asphalt and concrete and road work, and that's what this money goes for. So there is accountability in this. And I'd like to go back to Greg's point about the 1 cent that we put on in Baldwin County. I hope to do exactly the same thing here, because with that 1 cent, do you know what we did? We replaced an existing tax. It was revenue neutral. Nobody's taxes went up in Baldwin County. And what did we do? We see hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on schools in Baldwin County, okay,
mm-hmm.
over the course of time. New school construction for the first time in over a decade. We see a school system that has stable financial funding for the first time, all with no net increase in taxes. And that's exactly the same thing I want to do with this. We are moving money to where it is absolutely needed, where almost everybody will agree we need more infrastructure mm-hmm. funding. Now we need to spend the next 4 years of this quadrennium getting in there, rolling up our sleeves, and finding ways to offset this increase.
Yeah, and I know you, and we want to get into that in a second, but you know, and Greg, I appreciate your call. recall. But this revenue neutral thing, you're right. You look at paper. And I remember looking at it at the county level in Baldwin County. But it does affect people differently. While overall, you are correct, the actual tax burden on any citizen in that given area averaged out is the same. But it does move from one group to another sometimes who's paying.
So if you're paying less for tax on a loaf of bread and more for fuel, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I mean, that's about as good as you can do in a heavily earmarked budget. But those
and
pennies...
And you said last week when I was in Montgomery that this part of this mechanism is to be able to, because of the 93% earmarking in the general fund and not having the liberty to move things, you don't have to do something here to basically stop one revenue stream, in other words, reduce taxes there so you can raise it where you can do something about it outside the earmarks.
This is the only way to change priorities in the state budget. This is the only way to do it. And the commitment is here from my side and from others to find ways to offset this now. That's the challenge we face. That will be difficult, but that is what I will be focused on moving forward. But it is wrong for me to sit here and say, I can't do it. You know, that's the one four-letter word I refuse to let my kids say. There are probably some others that their mother wishes they wouldn't say. But I am not a can't kind of guy. I want to figure out a way to get to setting the priorities we need to set, where the money's going, where the people in my district need it to go, and where statewide it's going where it needs to go, and to make sure that we get our share and that I'm in a position to make sure we get our share here in coastal Alabama.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Paul is in Mobile. You're on with Senator Elliott.
Yes, sir. Now, we've used these regressive taxes in Alabama for years and years, and it's only left us at the bottom of everything. Why don't you use a property tax, the most fair tax that we have possible?
All right.
Because it's impossible from a political standpoint. There's no question about it. It would never see the light of day in the Alabama legislature. I could agree with you or disagree with you. We could talk about the merits of it one way or the other, but there is a reason that has not been done in Alabama, and that is because pigs will fly before that happens in the Alabama legislature. So the answer to your question is because it's impossible.
So that's a pragmatic answer to the idealistic question.
Yep. There's no point in trying to move that rock or go through that rock. You just go around it and find another way to do it.
All right. Up next, Richard, and he's in Mobile. Richard, you're on with Senator Chris Elliott.
Thank you. I have the only thing that bothers me about the tax, and we need infrastructure. I have no doubt about that. My problem is, what's keep this money from going into the general fund and being used for other things?
Richard, the short answer to your question is the law itself. It goes into a special fund called the Rebuild Alabama Fund, and it is isolated there so that it can be spent only for new construction projects and resurfacing projects, for infrastructure, for asphalt and concrete, and absolutely, explicitly not for anything else. We're not talking about any conference tables. We're not talking about any personnel. We're talking about actual road work.
So you're telling me there is no way possible for it to ever be used for anything else?
That is correct. That is in the law itself.
Well, that's pretty cool. I like that.
There we go. Appreciate the call. Let's go to David next in Mobile. David, you're on with Senator Elliott.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Senator Elliott. How y'all doing today?
Good, David.
Now that the tax has passed, it's on the books, it's been signed. What road projects in the Mobile area are going to be a priority for ALDOT? Because in my opinion, the number one priority needs to be finishing the Bloody 98 project in Mobile County, and then the Palm Beach Express 181 and 31 before we ever build a bridge to nowhere down at the beach.
All of those, David, are priorities. There's no question about it. I want to see how the Joint Transportation Committee shakes out. Those appointments have not yet been made, but I feel pretty good about what's going to happen. We have been angling and moving, and that's part of the yes vote here, is to make sure we're in the position to hit every single project on both sides of the bay that you just talked about. Certainly 181, certainly Bloody 98, and certainly the Beach Express North. All of those are on my list, and I am laser focused on making sure we do that, because that's how we get our share for coastal Alabama.
Have you asked to be put on the committee?
All of them.
All of them, good.
All right. Appreciate the call. Let me grab a couple more here before we, well, I'll tell you what, run the news break and we'll come right back to the phones at 343-0106. Also, some text coming in here, but we'd love to listen to your voice on this Wednesday. State Senator Chris Elliott, and he was a yes vote in the Senate, and he's telling us why.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking to State Senator Chris Elliott about his yes vote for the trio of bills that made up the infrastructure package, one of those being the gas tax increase. I want to circle back to this. We addressed it at the beginning of the hour, but I can take this or you can take this. I've talked about it several times, but maybe it's better coming from you. Once again, questions. Why couldn't y'all have gotten this revenue from sin taxes or the lottery or those things? Can you explain how the special session worked?
Sure. The governor calls the special session. She's the governor. She gets to decide what is able to be taken up by the legislature during the special session.
Y'all could not have brought up.
We could not have brought up any of these things in the special session. They will be brought up now. And that's the best answer I can give. And I think you'll see a lottery. I think you'll see other offsets like we were talking about from grocery taxes and other things. You're going to see all of that. But the legislature was unable to do that based on the way the special session was called.
Yeah, I want to – this is a quick one. I don't know what even kind of answer you could give to this. But this kind of boils down to the spirit of what I think you're talking about. Terry says, yes vote. Some people would rather ride the train than get hit by the train.
Well, and
you
I'd
see
rather,
what Terry say. I mean, and those people being District 30. Do you think that? Because you said at the beginning of the hour that if you didn't ride the train here, this train was coming through, and your constituents, District 32, would be marked by the state that you knew this was going to pass. You thought it had critical mass; it was going to pass. The question is, are you going to stand in its way and be one of those people that's noted this today? I mean, it'd be politically expedient, I got to tell you, because you'd be a hero in here if you voted no.
Sure, and then I can just rail against those folks that voted yes and that evil Montgomery, and they didn't give us what we needed, and oh my goodness, here we are again. And I'm going to use a ship analogy instead of a train. We're in coastal Alabama.
Okay,
so
good. That's fine.
I have an opportunity to either get run over by that ship coming at me or to move it just slightly here and move it just slightly there and move it in a different direction that benefits coastal Alabama. And I'll tell you, this is a good segue into exactly what we were able to do. We were able to introduce an amendment in the House that changed the way fast-growing counties' populations were counted, okay? They had it being counted every 10 years. The
decennial
census, right. That's bad for Baldwin County. That's really bad for Baldwin County. We're growing 4,000 to 5,000 people every year. That's 40,000 to 50,000 people every decennial census. 9 years into a census where we are right now, we're some 40,000 people behind from a population standpoint.
What is registered?
That's exactly right. We were able to get that change. That took.
And why is that important? Explain to people how the money is broken down.
Like. So that deals with the municipal portion at 75% of the 8.3%. That goes to municipalities, that goes to the county portion, which is 55% of the 25% of this total bill. But it makes a meaningful difference. It's worth millions in Baldwin County alone. And we were able to do that because we were working with these folks. If we had not been working with them, they would have simply taken it from us.
See, so the quick Sullivanese explanation, if you're like a Lowndes County, you'd want to be counted every 10 years. If you're a Baldwin County, you'd want to be counted every 1 year, but the best you can get is every five.
Right, and that was a discussion that happened between the League of Municipalities, the County Commission Association, ALDOT, Representative Poole, who's the sponsor of the bill. But do you think the sponsor of the bill is going to talk to me if I'm sitting there railing against him saying, heck no, I'm not voting for this thing? He's going to brush me off. There's no way we get this amendment if I'm a no vote. And the end result is the people in my district suffer. The people in coastal Alabama suffer.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Gary's in the Bayou. You're on with Chris Elliott. Gary? I think we lost it. What did I do? Did I do something to the phones, Dalton? Gary. All right, well, we'll give Gary a... let's go to Steve in Mobile up next.
Hey, Mr. Elliott. Thanks for your time. My question for you on the funding with the gas tax. And I understand we need it, and I know it's going to go to good use. But my big heartburn is with RSA, why we have not addressed the funding that we spend to RSA. Can you answer, is that being looked at, or is that even considered anymore the massive amount of money that we pour into them each year, which is close to $1 billion.
It's big money, there's no doubt, and yes, that is continuously looked at and continuously brought up. It is a tough issue, I'm not going to lie to you. It's a very tough issue, but I will also tell you, again, going back to Sean's point earlier, not something that could have been talked about during this special session. And I don't mean to suggest that's what you were asking for, but yes, it will be looked at, and yes, it's continuously looked at.
And I appreciate you bringing that up to remind me to talk about that. And why? Who stands in the way? Is it just Bronner? But how is that addressed?
Well, I mean, when you've got retirees, they're certainly a big lobby, and they're mm-hmm. very interested in making sure they protect their benefits. I'm a numbers guy. I'm mm-hmm. a business guy, and I'm a numbers guy. And anybody that knows me, including those retirees, it's what is actuarially possible is what's important to me. You know, we had a situation in Pritchard not long ago where the retirees kept asking for more, 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 more. Mm-hmm. And the elected officials kept doing what? Giving them more, 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 more until it was actuarially a catastrophe and it folded. And that's exactly what we don't want to do for ourselves.
Gosh, so many places across the country that happened.
Absolutely.
Politicians made promises that they didn't have the checkbook to keep up with.
Exactly. And there are folks right now pushing to get rid of the Tier 2 system, to go back to Tier 1 right now. I think that's actuarially impossible. And I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but that's differences in retirement dates. That's differences in years of service. At the end of the day, you have to have a program that's funded and that's actuarially got some integrity to it.
All right. I want to give you a second here as we wrap up the hour to speak to people in District 32. Also, you've had, heck, a ton of calls here from people outside of 32 giving you a call. So, but they're just trying to get an answer here. I think other than one no vote, everybody else was a yes vote from our area.
There were
Vivian Figures was a no.
That was it. That was the only one.
Yeah, there's only one no vote. Everybody else was yes. So, you're at this point, you're proxy for the yes votes. So, make your case to people, as we close out here.
Well, a no vote would have made would have been bad for us, and it would have made no difference as far as what taxes you're paying. If I had voted no, you'd still be paying this tax.
It would have still passed.
It would have still passed. You'd still have the same taxes, but I wouldn't be in a position, and none of the other legislators that voted yes either, would be in a position to effectively advocate for Baldwin and Mobile County. We wouldn't be in that position right now. We wouldn't be in a position to advocate for all of those roads projects that David mentioned, the 31s, the 181 expansion, the bridge, yeah, yeah. Bloody 98. We wouldn't be in a position to advocate for infra-grant funding for the I-10 bridge. We wouldn't be in a position to advocate for the port funding. We wouldn't be in that position, and that's important. We are talking about now being able to talk about billions of dollars worth of projects and investment in coastal Alabama that continues to fuel the low unemployment rate that we have here, the staggering economic growth from Amazon, Walmart Distribution Center, the mega site in North Baldwin County, Airbus, all of those things that are going like gangbusters right now, that are driving this economy right now. Those are the things we've got to keep up with from an infrastructure standpoint, including the quality of life in Mobile and Baldwin County. We've got to make sure that it doesn't take me an hour to get from Fairhope to your studio, which is what it did today.
Interestingly enough, yes, it took you a long time to get in here today because you're stuck in traffic.
But we can fix these things. We have every ability to fix these things, and we are going to fix these things. And we're going to fix these things by reallocating tax revenue. That's what we're doing here today. We've taken the first step, and that was all we could do in the governor's call. Now it's time for the next step, and I would ask everybody that's listening right now, get behind me in making the tough decisions to cut elsewhere. Now it's time to go look and do the hard work of rolling up our sleeves and cutting elsewhere. And I've got the only bill in the Senate right now that's proposing to do that.
One last question here. This is one that's been asked a couple times. So is there a tag fee increase included with the gas tax?
No, there's not. No. And I'll just say that again. It's not. It was there before, and it's there again. It's a misnomer.
It's not in there.
It's not.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I'm working hard to make sure we get our share, and that's exactly why I had to vote this way.
All right. Come back in soon. Y'all get started back up Monday or Tuesday. No, Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, right?
Correct.
All right. Very good. Hour number two of Mobile, or Midday Mobile, coming up next.